So we've been teaching in a series called What Child Is This? And I put the inflection on the wrong, I put the red on the wrong word. I should have put it on the is instead of the child. But we're talking about two different children. Who did we talk about last week, for those of you that were here? John the Baptizer. What specifically about John? Anybody remember his parents' name? Elizabeth and Zachary, you guys were paying attention. The only thing my son said to me, we got into the Jeep to ride home, and he said, "Dad, you said something disgusting today." Said something disgusting. I was just talking about Zachariah and Elizabeth, and he said, "You know what you said." So I'm trying to think back, and then I remembered saying I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Zechariah came back to his wife mute but had to show her what the angel had said to him, that they were going to have a baby. And so this mute man, this newly mute man, is trying to explain to his wife how that needs to happen and how they needed to have sex with each other. And so my seventh grade son said, "That's disgusting." So that's all he took away from it, was, "Dad, you're gross," using that kind of talk from the stage. So Zechariah and Elizabeth is just this beautiful thing where we talked about this holy interruption and how God comes into our lives. And it's this thing that isn't always welcomed, right? This thing that isn't always welcome, but it's something that God comes in. And it's not truly an interruption. It's God trying to get us to love His creation. It's God trying to get us on the same plane as He is, to love His creation, that they might know Him. And so that story continues. Now we're actually talking about this birth of Jesus. Can we do that? If you noticed, when I spoke last week, we got to about verse 25, and then we skipped a big portion of Scripture, and that's because it was stealing material for this week. So I'm adding it in now. Is that okay? Okay. So we all remember the angel from last week. If you weren't here last week, there was an angel that came and met Zechariah. And Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth. And they were old people. And the angel tells Zechariah, "You're going to have a kid." And he's like, "Yeah, right. You better give me a sign." And he said, "I'm an angel. Standing right in front of you, hopefully that would work as enough, but no, that doesn't work for you, so here's the sign, you're going to be mute until this baby is born." So this same angel, does anybody remember the angel's name? It's either you're giving me the Christmas story answers, because normally when I ask a question, it's, what did we learn last week? Coffee was a little too dark. They ran out of donuts at 10:35. That's about what I get. But the angel's name is Gabriel. You're right. I don't mean to mock you. I'm sorry. But the same angel goes 6 months later, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptizer. We see the angel Gabriel, go and visit this woman named Mary. Mary is a virgin. Mary is betrothed to another whose name is Joseph. And as I was reading all these different accounts within Scripture, I had to come and figure out whether Mary and Joseph were actually married or not. Does that sound like a shocker to you? When you read the Matthew account, when you read the Luke's account, you read these different, it always says they were committed to be married, they were betrothed to one another, they were basically our equivalent of engaged, only it wasn't that. It was much more serious back then. Husbands would actually purchase their wives with cattle, land, whatever, because they were purchasing them from their parents. And that was sounds weird, doesn't it? You guys are thinking, "No, that's how it happened with me and my husband." But they would purchase They would pay this dowry price. And they would pay it to the parents because they were giving up their daughter, and so they needed something in return, apparently. Give me money. Give me cattle. Give me land. I paid 4 head of cattle for my wife. They got robbed. Yeah, really. They really did get robbed. But So they were betrothed to be married, but this whole marriage ceremony, this thing would last about a year, and they would live in separate houses. She would still live with her parents until the time where they actually got married. And if any of you have been here long enough to remember the teaching about the Shema moment, one, they wouldn't consummate the marriage until, you know, they weren't truly this thing, this marriage, until they consummated it. And for those of you that don't know what that is, Thaddeus Coop, it's sex. They had sex. He's learning about it in school. He goes to public school. Come on, he learned about this in fourth and fifth grade. Come on. So, Mary and Joseph haven't gotten there yet. Mary and Joseph are in this betrothal period, this engagement period, this period where they are committed and basically married other than having sex. And this angel comes to Mary and says to her, "Hey, woman, blessed are you." And Mary is right to be concerned. The scripture says she's kind of perplexed and concerned by this greeting. What do you want from me? Who are you? Why would you talk to me in this way? Right? And the angel's telling her, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And the angel said, and she was frightened by this greeting, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You were to call him Jesus." No, not funny. Good. You were to call him Jesus. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And if you remember when Gabriel visited Zechariah in the temple, Zechariah said, "I'm old, you're going to have to give me a sign on this." That was his response to this angel's greeting after he tells him about he's going to have a boy. He's going to have this boy that's going to change the world, John. Mary gets the same angel, and Mary's response is different. You'll see this, and she says, "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." That's a logical question, right? Say, what? And the angel said, "Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. The Holy Spirit will conceive within you this child, this Jesus. That way it'll be God's child, not any kind of man's child at all. It'll be God's child." And then Mary says this, after they get done having this, "How will this happen?" which is logical. Mary says this beautiful phrase, says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." And then Gabriel left. Women in the room, if this happened to you, would that be your response? I can't speak for you. I'm asking legitimately. I want to know. Would this be like, "Yeah, cool. Holy Spirit, I'm going to have a kid. I'm a virgin. Great." What's that? No way? Be kind of creepy, be kind of weird, right? I always wonder what Gabriel looked like. Did he actually look like an angel? Did he have these wings, or did he look just like a normal man to not like freak people out? Did he just walk up to her on the street, "Hey, God loves you. You're highly favored with him. By the way, you're going to have this kid." I don't know if that would be my response. I don't know if that would be my wife's response. I know that wouldn't be her response today. Another kid? No way, huh? Yeah. So at that time, right when this conversation takes place with Mary, the angel also, as he was talking with Mary, tells her about her cousin. You know who her cousin is? What's that? Her cousin's name is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant with John. And he says, well, hey, you know what? Here's kind of further confirmation that they're, you know how old they are, and they're pregnant, and they're expected to give birth. So after Mary has this encounter with Gabriel, Mary drops what she's doing, and she goes and she visits Elizabeth and Zechariah in their home. And right when she gets into the home, Elizabeth is there, and Mary walks in, and John jumps within Elizabeth's womb because he's aware that Jesus is there. Jesus is in the room. And Elizabeth then is very aware, and the Holy Spirit comes and she starts just speaking this beautiful blessing over Mary. And Mary then goes and prophesies this beautiful song about what God is doing, what God has done, and what God is about to do through her, through Elizabeth, through this John to be born, and through this Jesus to be born. Sounds pretty legit, right? What we don't take into consideration is her husband Joseph at this point. Everybody thinks Joseph's just going with it. Everybody thinks Joseph's just cool when his wife comes up and says, hey, baby, now you need to listen to me. Now I know this is going to sound weird, but I'm pregnant. But it's not what you think. Could you imagine trying to describe this scenario? Baby, I just sit down. Why are you pacing? Just sit down. Please. I'm pregnant. But God said, you know, this angel came and I don't know. One thing led to another. I'm pregnant with God's baby. And Joseph's like, totally. What I find interesting is that Gabriel, it doesn't talk about these accounts of Mary and Joseph actually being in the same room and getting the same information at the same time. I think that would have helped things, but I think Gabriel had a comedy factor about him, with making Zechariah a mute and then telling Mary and Joseph the same information at two separate times. So Mary's gone. She's gone for 3 months, hanging out with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and you have Joseph here to just stew in his thoughts. You have Joseph just sitting here thinking, this is complete crap. Pregnant with God's baby. My camel. I am funny. Look at this. And he is contemplating divorce. He's not happy about the situation. It doesn't set right with Joseph. It doesn't sound right to Joseph, and rightfully so. He's not operating on the same information that Mary's operating on. And I wonder about this 3 month period where Mary's like, yeah, I'm going to drop this bomb on Joe, and then I'm going to jet for 3 months. And hopefully, when I get back, he's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. So she takes off for 3 months, and Joe is sitting here stewing in his thoughts, wondering, I am going to divorce this woman. But I'm going to do it quietly. I'm going to honor her because this is just crazy to me. I should be throwing her under the bus, but you know what? I'm an honorable man. I am going to honor this woman and just do it quietly. As he makes this decision in his mind, that night he goes to bed and he wakes up from this dream where an angel of the Lord, I'm just going to say it's Gabriel because he was the one sent with all this information anyway. I doubt God would hire it out to Gabriel's homeboy, you know, here, oh, well, he's been delivering the message, you just do it now. I'm guessing it was Gabriel. He has this dream with Gabriel, with this angel, and he says, hey, what you have in your mind to do, no, this is legitimate, this is God. This is everything that she said it was. What we want you to do is we want you to marry Mary. We want you to continue with this wedding. We want you to continue on to be her loving husband. And he wakes up. read what he says when he wakes up. It says this, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. As I read this story, as I look into this story, as I dive into this story in Scripture, I am confronted with the very personal feelings of Joseph, the very personal feelings of Mary, the confusion, the somewhat, what in the world are you talking about? What is this? Why is this? Somewhat the injustice as Gabriel drops information in Mary's lap, and then she's supposed to then go tell Joseph instead of him just telling them both at the same time in the same room. My heart sees an injustice and says, man, I don't know as I would have been the guy to be told that. My own logic would have said this is completely false. My own logic would have said, no, I'm not in for this. My wife's going to perpetuate a lie that she's pregnant with God's baby and I'm just supposed to be the sucker that pays for it. I am confronted with these things, and I never want to just gloss over these stories like they're just this easy thing where people just waltz through life. Oh, yes, God, yeah, yep, yeah, cool. These are real people with real feelings. These are real people that have lived real lives. These are real people that are much like you and me today, who have brains, who have spirits, who have wills of their own that can go their own direction in this. And so I read this, I think of the challenges of what Gabriel is talking about. Not only that, but when you start zooming out from Scripture, you start seeing Jesus' birth, everything about that. You have these prophecies and these prophets talking to King Herod. Once he's actually born and on the scene, and Herod's like, we got to kill him because he's a threat to me. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, Jesus' life was never this beautiful, easy thing. Nor the people that were involved. John the Baptist, his life that we read about with Elizabeth and Zechariah, his life was not this beautiful, easy thing. These are real people with real issues, with real wills. And as I reflect on those wills, man, I see so much of myself in this story. I see so much of myself saying, whoa, hold on, God. I would not participate with you in this. This thing that has been prophesied 700 years earlier through Isaiah, this fulfillment of prophecy. Joseph, if Joseph would have decided, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to divorce her, prophecy would not have been fulfilled. Because Joseph comes from the line of David, King David. And all the prophecies pointed to this. Hey, you know what? He is going to be inheriting the throne of David. He comes from this line. Prophecy would not have been fulfilled if Joseph would have just stuck to his guns and said, you know what, this story is crazy, I'm out. But something within them, something within this encounter, something, and in both of these stories, when you look at Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were people who loved the Lord with everything they had. They were above reproach. Mary and Joseph, the same thing. They talk about these people who have lived to the letter of the law that they ascribe to in their Jewish faith. And then they're greeted. Then they're put to the test. Then they're put to the task. Hey, look, you've lived this out, and now this is what the Lord's asking of you. And it's about to get crazy. But Mary's response, Joseph's response, to just do what is asked of them, is so much the key here today. There wasn't, yeah, but. There wasn't, well, what do you think of the, couldn't we just do it another way? You know, I like your way, but if we did it like this. And that's where I find myself in negotiation with God a lot of times. Am I the only one? Your silence says yes. This negotiation, this unwillingness to meet God where He's asking us to meet Him, this unwillingness to do what God's asked of us to do, because I want to negotiate it out. Look, this isn't comfortable for me. This doesn't jive with what I think should happen. And as I read this story and I just read those beautiful words of may your word be fulfilled in me. May what you say be what is in my life. Joseph, to get the bombshell from his wife and then from the angel, and then for him to just wake up and say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what's asked of me. There is so much power in that. There is so much power in you becoming powerless. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is so much power of you giving up your will for God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't understand it for a long time. For a real long time. In fact, I still kind of creep back into that not understanding. But as we give up what God has allowed us to live in for a long time, as we give up our own way, as we give up these things that we cling to so dearly, these own your stuff moments that we just got done talking about, these moments that we're just clinging to so tightly, and God comes in this holy interruption, as you see again with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and then you see it happen within Joseph and Mary, and all they can say is, may your will be done here. Sounds a lot like Jesus' prayer, doesn't it? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is so much power in you becoming powerless. There is so much power in us dropping our will and just saying yes to God, no matter how weird. And trust me, it is weird. It is backwards. His kingdom is backwards. Scripture, they ask, you know, how do we, you know, who's the greatest? I want to sit at your right hand. And Jesus simply says, you want to be great? You want to be the coolest person in heaven? The best person in heaven? You better start serving one another. Does that sound backwards? Corporate people, does that sound backwards? Ooh. Financial people, does that sound backwards? When God challenges us, hey, you know what? Why don't you give up everything that you have? Let's just call that mine. And you be faithful with the resources that I've given you to love one another, to live with people, to better other people's situation alongside your own. Does that sound backwards? And the only thing that we can do is say, yes, your will be done. God, I will do as you say. There is so much beauty in that. There is so much freedom in that. When we stop fighting Him with our own stuff, with our own will, and we just say, yes, God, your will be done. And like Joseph and Mary, that doesn't take away our weird insecurities. that doesn't take away the strangeness of the situation. Carrying God's baby. I don't know what you're so worked up about, Joe. It's just me getting pregnant. It doesn't change the awkwardness of the situation. It doesn't change even the pressure of the situation where other people can look in from outside. I've had my family question my sanity many times. From outside, as God works within my life, as God does things within my life, as God calls me into things that I'm saying I'm going to be obedient to, I've had my own family whom I love and whom loves me say, I don't know about that. That seems weird, and that's weird. That's weird. Are you sure that's what he said? Well, why can't you just do it like this? And they start like negotiating for me on my behalf with God. I said, I don't know, but at this point, all I know is I have to do this. Like, I have no other option but this because that's what's been asked of me. And they don't get it. Now, there are things that God will not tell you to do, like go kill people. Go rob people, right? There's stuff within Scripture that are no-nos, right? I've lost everyone. They're all asleep. Wait, kill people? No, that's fine. That's totally cool. But what God will ask of you is to further His kingdom. What God will come and ask of you is just like He would ask of Mary and Joseph, look, you are the people to carry this out, to change the world. And what's interesting is when you fast forward, and I don't want to steal too much of my thunder for next week, when you fast forward to the end of Jesus' life, when He dies and resurrects and comes back, and then He leaves again, He leaves us with that, doesn't He? Look, here is your chance. This is your task now to change the world through your obedience and doing what I say. And I'm going to be here to help you. I'm going to be here in this form of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that spoke to Elizabeth, that spoke through Elizabeth, that spoke through Zechariah, that spoke through John, is going to be here to help you do all of these things that I asked. Now it's your job. Now it's your task to do these things. To bring life to these people by what it is that I'm asking you to be obedient to. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that creepy? If I am God's plan for humanity, we are doomed. But that is His plan. The kingdom being brought through me. The kingdom being brought through you. The kingdom being brought through our loving God. And being obedient to the things that He asks. So God, that's what we ask this morning. That's what we ask today. Grow our love for You. God, grow our love for You that our obedience doesn't feel so foreign, that it doesn't feel so forced, that it doesn't feel so painful at times. God, take us to those places. I just continue to think of Joseph just sitting in his room, stewing as Mary's gone. Angry at the situation, not happy about the situation, plotting divorce. And Mary probably not knowing the wiser. God, as we have real stuff to confront when You come and confront us and ask us to be obedient to You, God, I pray that our will just gets checked at the door. God, that Your will would be done on earth, here, through us, in us, as it is in heaven. God, grow us in love. God, grow us in obedience, that when we are confronted with You, the only words that we have to say are, I am Your servant. May Your word be fulfilled. May Your word to me be fulfilled. God, we love You and we thank You just for how You operate God, we love you and we thank you for how you, what you speak, God, comes true. God, the things that you asked us to be a part of happen, not out of our own strength, but because of your strength, God. You walk us through it every step of the way, and we are grateful for that, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you for Mary and Joseph, who went with it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.